Okay, you can get started, Sheikh Shahid.
Good. Okay. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين علهم ينفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزد علم يكريم رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته إن شاء الله تعالى all of you are doing well on this beautiful morning, Sunday morning, alhamdulillah. We are on our 12th session for our Imam Nawawi rahimahullah's 40 hadith collection, going over not all the hadith that we all know, just handpicking a few of them, around 20 or so, just so we get a taste of the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we go in a little bit in depth about each hadith and try to extract as much lessons as we can, inshallah ta'ala, and implement it in our life. That is the ultimate goal of these sessions that we're having. And again, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you. I see the normal crew here. Alhamdulillah, may Allah bless all of you for attending regularly. And this is the path of knowledge that you keep consistent in it, if you will. And you see what consistency that you'll gain and inshallah ta'ala benefit as much as possible. So let's get right into it. Let me share my screen. So last week, alhamdulillah, we had a numerous amount of hadith that we went over also that that we benefited from and went over, and inshallah ta'ala we took good benefit and lessons from that. So here we go. Here, let me minimize this. There you go. So and we will continue. So last week we went over a lot of things. You know, there's a great hadith that we went over last week, and the last hadith that we went over, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about a lot of virtues that each one of us should have, and that how making dhikr, you know, saying alhamdulillah, subhanallah, as much as we can throughout the day, keeping your tongue moist with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that salah is nur, is a light for you, charity is a proof of your iman, right, of your faith, and that the Quran could be a proof for you on Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the Day of Judgment, or it could be a proof against you. And so we kind of talked about that, right? How much are we trying to implement all that we learn? And that's the thing with knowledge. It's beautiful. You learn a lot. You benefit yourself. But at the same time, you're held more responsible of that, acting on that knowledge. And that's a good thing, inshallah ta'ala, right? To try to, now that you have these weapons to use in your life to be successful, to implement it. And if we don't, then of course we're going to be held accountable for not acting on it. And that goes for all of us here, especially myself, for even teaching or going over these hadith. So one hadith that we're going to start off today, we're going to try to knock out, go over three hadith, hadith number 26, 27, 28, I believe. And so 26, this hadith 26 here, I'm not going to go over it in an extended form, but at least try to take some benefit from it. And then rest of the other two hadith, we're going to dive a little bit deeper in it, inshallah ta'ala. So this hadith number 26, on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, who said, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace and blessing of Allah be upon him, said, every joint of a person must perform a charity each day that the sun rises. Okay, so every time we woke up this morning, this hadith applies to us, right? So every joint, and joint is something that obviously they're your, you know, in your bones and your joints, your muscles, your elbows, your fingers, all that good stuff. So every joint of a person must perform a charity each day that the sun rises. To judge justly between two people is a charity. To help a man with his mount, I mean, basically getting on a horse or a camel back in those days that they used to use, lifting him onto it or hosting up his belongings on it is a charity. So basically helping somebody. And the good word is a charity, saying something good. And every step that you take towards a prayer is a charity. Of course, going to the masjid. And removing a harmful object from the road is a charity. Okay. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I think, we'll stay here. Here that we have the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, really quick, let me close this window.
got some noise from outside. I forgot to do it before I started class.
Anyway, get back, right? So here, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one thing I want to take, want you all of you to take from this hadith, first and foremost, is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving the word charity, the word sadaqah in Arabic. If you read the Arabic version of this hadith, you see the word is sadaqah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam uses. He's giving a new definition of the word charity, okay? And that's one thing, is that we all use words in different terms of whatever the custom of the people use, right? And then Islam comes and sometimes defines that word in a different way. And that is now the definition we need to use in terms of in a religious sense. So for example, the word salah, before Islam, if you tell someone to salli, to pray, that means dua, that they will raise up their hand and they'll say, oh Allah, give me this, give me that. Then when Islam came, the word salah took on the form of the normal five daily prayers that we do, of standing, you know, making prostration, making bowing, sitting, etc. And that is now what we call salah, right? It could also be used to making dua also in other terms. So here the charity, if I ask you guys, what is charity? What is sadaqah? You would say, okay, like giving food to somebody, donating money, helping somebody financially. This is what sadaqah is. Well, now the Prophet saw some saying, okay, that might be the standard understanding of the word sadaqah, but also sadaqah could be, or charity could be defined in multiple different ways. How? Well, look, the Prophet said that judging justly between two people, the acts of the sadaqah, right? Helping somebody who is in need, that is a sadaqah. I know, saying a good word, right? Say, how are you doing? How's everything going? Like, mashallah, you know, you're doing this or you're doing that. Cheering someone up. You know, you did a good job. You know, that's mashallah, very good, you know, talk today, very good presentation, right? The way that you, you know, solved that issue at work, you know, that was amazing. That really helped out everybody. You know, people like to, you know, hear good words, right? And be thanked for what they did, what they do, right? A good word is charity. So just saying that. So it's not necessarily money in a donation box all the time. And don't get me wrong, inshallah, we still need money in the donation boxes, right? That's very important. And we've been away from our masjid for a while, so those donation boxes have been pretty empty, inshallah ta'ala. We're still donating online and through other means, inshallah ta'ala. But see here, the Prophet is defining it in different ways. So that's the first point I want all of you to take off from this one. Another thing is the Prophet says that every joint of a person must perform a charity each day that the sun rises. And if you look up medically, how many joints do we have in our body? When I looked, and there's difference of opinions on it. But some say around 360 or so, around there. And there's another hadith of Prophet that says that we have 360 joints in our body and that we have to give a sadaqah for every single one. So that's 360 acts of charity that we have to do every day, just to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our joints. Now, why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, talk about our joints, like our, you know, our your elbow, your body function, pretty much, right? You know, your different joints that we have in our body. Why is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talking about that? And this is one thing I've stressed a lot. If you've took my classes before and heard me speak, is that when people are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's very easy to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you get saved from a car accident, when you get a certain disease that gets, you know, you get cured from, for example, right? These are big moments in life that like I say, whether you're a believer or non-believer, most people, you know, thank God or thank somebody when that happens. But it's the normal day, small things is what gets omitted in our thankfulness, right? Is that you got home from work, you went to the grocery store, you came home safely, right? Imagine if you would have gotten an accident, even a flat tire, how much, you know, stress that would just bring, you know? Oh my gosh, now I got to deal with insurance, and now we got to follow up, we got to call, making sure that person gave me the right information, they don't just run off, and you all know headaches for these type of things. But just coming home and driving in back into your driveway or your garage, right? Like, alhamdulillah, that's amazing. Or getting up in the morning, right? Just alhamdulillah, I'll give you another day to worship him, to add hasanat, good deeds, right? These are the small things. And of course, our joints, right? And going back also Surah Mulk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he gave us, you know, a hearing, he gives us sight, and give us a heart. Qalila ma tashkurun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but little do people give thanks. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings up very small things, our hearing, our sight, and our heart, right? And of course, our heart pumps. It's amazing muscle, amazing organ in our body. You know, a lot of us don't even understand how that even works, how, you know, oxygen that we breathe gets infused into the blood, and the blood takes that to different parts of our body. You know, all we gotta say is, alhamdulillah, thank you, Allah, subhanallah. And this is kind of like the hadith from last week, right? Just saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, fills up, you know, everything between the earth and the skies, because that statement is so great. You know, that's why I say we want to make sure that we make these statements. So joints, we all know that's all in our body, our fingers. We all, some people have, you know, I forgot what that issue is with your hands. If you type a lot, I forgot what it's called. But anyhow, like everyone has all these sometimes issues with their joints, their knees, elbows, and so forth. But when they're working pretty good, alhamdulillah, are we thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then so the Prophet says here that one way that we could thank Allah is to judge justly between two people, right? And there's another hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. I was going to put on the slide. I didn't get to finish my slides this morning. But there's another hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that's mentioned in Abu Dawood, that he asked the Sahaba, do you want me to inform you of what is better than prayer? What is more virtuous than fasting? What is more virtuous than, you know, donation and financial, you know, sadaqah? He said is to help make the difference between two people and resolve that. To what? To get two people to help solve the differences between two people. That is what's the best thing you could do. Not mean that you don't have to pray and you don't have to fast. Don't understand the hadith in that sense. The scholars are saying is that how we they use this hadith to emphasize how important it is to try to make reconciliation between two people. And scholars have said this is called a farḍ kifāyah, meaning it's a communal obligation that if two people are known not to talk to each other or have some type of issue, it is obligatory upon the community that at least one person from that whole community should try to help that situation. Okay, not everyone could do it, man. Everyone has, you know, those type of counseling skills and knows how to, you know, talk to people without having a bias between them. But here is that just helping people. And all of us here, alhamdulillah, we have our circle of our friends. We have our family members. You know, you could count how many people that we are attached to in terms of our relations, whether family or friends, and how many people that we know that maybe have issues between that person and another person. Now, I'm telling you this hadith here. It doesn't mean that, you know, right after the class, you start calling people up and like, hey, you have to start talking to X, Y, and Z again. You need to start talking to this person again. You need to go make up. You need to say sorry. This is so important, right? We just learned a hadith today. I want you to have that type of motivation and eagerness. But in terms of making two people come back and settle their differences, there's a skill to do that, okay? Because sometimes you might want to help two people, but you might make it worse. You go up to prison. Why don't you just say sorry to the other person? Let's go. It's so important. And some of the people might feel offended. Why don't you say sorry for? I didn't do anything. It was that person. And so they could feel like you're attacking them. And so, like I said, it's a special formula to know how to do that. And of course, you know, what can be something you could do is try to get someone else to help those two individuals, right? I can't do it. I'm not a good, counselor or consultant or between two people, but I can maybe talk to Dr. Siddiquian and get these two people to come to his office. Maybe I could go talk to this counselor. I could talk to this person and ask them if they could meet with these people. And hey, if I could facilitate that, alhamdulillah, that's something that I think all of us could at least try to do, if you will. And then helping a person on this mount or with their belongings, of course, that's very simple, right? And here the mindset is that, my dear brothers and sisters, is that you always are just aware of, like, when you're coming out of the grocery store, you're walking to your car, you're aware somebody has dropped something on the ground. Somebody is struggling to put things into their trunk. Some people are holding a bag and trying to open the door And then you can say, hey, I want me to help you. You're just aware, right? Instead of just like, I'm trying to find my car and jump, put my things in there and get out of here, right? But a Muslim, the way the Prophet ﷺ is trying to say is that our first thing should be as we're walking out of a store or when we're coming outside is that we're looking for opportunities to try to see if we could help someone out. You're at work, someone has four files or folders on their arm, and they're holding their drink and they're trying to get back to their desk, holding their laptop. Say, hey, let me help you, right? Let me hold this if you will. And that is a mindset. That's what we're trying to bring now, is that you're more conscious of these type of acts of things around people. Alhamdulillah, in our society here in America, a lot of people are like that, right? Alhamdulillah, even though non-Muslims are very much like that. People are always looking to see how they can hold the door open for someone else or help you take a bag or help you, you know, lift that and lift this, etc. But just saying that us as Muslims, this should be our character, that we're consistently looking out to see, we're hungry, how can I help somebody, right? That is not necessarily how we jump back in our car and turn our air condition on, but how can we help somebody, inshallah ta'ala, of course, as long as you have the ability to do so. Speaking a good word is a sadaqah, right? And like I said, just cheering someone up, saying something good to somebody, right? Makes a big difference. Everyone has so much stress. And when you go to work and someone either says something good to you, you know, says, you know, talks to you in a very nice way. You know, you could come from a home environment where people don't talk to you very nicely and don't give you that respect. So this, you know, when you talk to people in a nice way, how are you doing? How's everything? You know, a great job on the presentation today, right? That was very informative. Everyone likes these type of things. And the scholars have saying making dua, reading Quran, is also part of sadaqah also, right? This all comes into it, okay? Let me see the chat. Somebody wrote something here. Shishab, are you having issues? No. Okay, we're good. And then according steps to prayer, obviously, I know everyone's kind of at home these days. I think that's self-explanatory. I don't need to go into that too much. And removing something harmful from the road. Once again, this is just having that sense of, hey, I'm conscious of when I go outside, is there something that I could help, you know, help somebody or move something out of the road that might cause harm to someone else, right? That is a Muslim's mindset. You come out of the parking lot. Once again, let's take the store example, right? There's a parking spot, but there's a shopping cart right in the middle of that parking spot, right? Obviously, no one's parking there. Why? Because someone left a shopping cart right there. So if you could it's not your shopping cart, but if you could take that shopping cart and put it back in where the shopping cart rack is, I don't know what the official name of that is. I'm just going to call it the shopping cart rack, you know, and push that there or just put it to the side where it doesn't block that parking spot. Alhamdulillah, right? That saves somebody to, you know, that they could park in that spot. They don't have to drive down somewhere else looking for a spot or whether if it's a hot day or not, right? That's something that I think all of us could something to do. You know, I'm not saying, you know, stay in the parking lot and put all the carts back. You know, maybe somebody might, you know, target might hire you if you keep on doing that. You know, alhamdulillah, you get a job to do that. But if you see something like that, you know, you walk into a car, just take 2, 5, 10 more steps and say, hey, let me put this to the side, that someone now could park on this spot, moving something from the road that could be harmful. It's not going to harm a car or anything, but, you know, a car's going to run that over us. But it's more, you know, helping people out. You know, there's something on the road. Once again, just be careful. Don't get out of your car and run and, you know, somebody's bumper fell off or some kind of bucket or ladder is on the middle of the road. You know, alhamdulillah, try to see if you could remove it. But at the same time, don't put yourself in harm's way. Jumping on freeways and try to move things out, you know, obviously, you know, use your precaution. You either could call someone, police, maybe they could remove it. You yourself don't have to get out and maybe get, you know, be a chance you might get hit by a car or it might be a dangerous situation. Obviously, you take your precautions. So here is I like this hadith. It's very beautiful because it gives a definition of sadaqah in a different way and many other things that we can do, inshallah ta'ala, to gain hasanat and good reward. And it's not just about putting money in a donation box, even though, alhamdulillah, that is very much needed, especially at a masjid situation and relief organizations, etc. But these are things that we could do almost every day in terms of give being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these joints that we have in our body, for our health, if you will, right? And that's something that is, the Prophet said that every day we wake up, this is something that we need to think about, right? So something, inshallah ta'ala, we can all benefit. So I wanted to go over that hadith kind of quickly, because I believe, like I said, it was gives the people a different, you know, perspective on life and looking at things that maybe we're not, you know, told otherwise. Hadith number 27. If you have any questions about hadith number 26, please put it in the chat box there. I can see if I could address it and go from there, inshallah ta'ala. Let's see here. Good. Hadith number 27 was one of my favorite hadith in this whole Imam Nawawi's 40 hadith collection. I believe it's so impactful. It will help you out so much in your life, inshallah ta'ala, knowing what, if you know, maybe you did something wrong or if you did something right, to try to be very conscious about your actions. So what is this hadith here? On the authority of Nawas bin Sam'an, radiyallahu an, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, righteousness is good character, and wrongdoing is that which wavers in the soul or the chest, and which you dislike people to find out about. Let's read that again. Righteousness is good character. Okay. If you want to define righteousness, the Prophet ﷺ said righteousness is good character. That's it. That's good character. Okay. Good mannerism, right? Being polite, being considerate, all that's under that, the umbrella of good character. And wrongdoing, sin, right? What is that? How do you define that, Ya Rasulullah, or Messenger of Allah? How do we define that? Is that what wavers in the soul, makes you feel uncomfortable in your chest? You felt like something feels wrong. What's bothering me, right? I think all of us have got to that state before where we something kind of like, you know, feel like something's bothering us, right? We know that, you know, something's wrong, that maybe we did something wrong because we don't feel good inside. And that you dislike people to find out about. You wouldn't want people to know about that action. Then Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, in this hadith number 27, he actually adds another hadith. You see how Imam Nawawi does this multiple times in his collection, where he finds another hadith that's very similar to the hadith that he's presenting, just so it kind of like they complement each other or they add to it. So he says, there's another hadith on the authority of Wa'abisa ibn Ma'bad, who said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said that this man came up to the Prophet, Wa'abisa. And he said, the Prophet said to him, have you come to ask about righteousness? And the Prophet is actually jumping the gun. He's trying to ask him before he even says anything. Did you come to ask about righteousness? Of course, Prophet kind of knew about that. And the man says, yes. He's kind of like astonished. Like, how did he know that? Yes. So the Prophet said, consult your heart. Not your friend's opinion. Not necessarily what somebody wrote on Facebook. But consult your heart. And then he said, what? Righteousness is that about which the soul, what we call, use the word, the chest here, feels at ease. Feel tranquil, right? And the heart feels tranquil. There you go. Okay. So the soul and the heart, and the Prophet something here is differentiating between the soul and the heart here. But anyhow, he's saying that it feels ease and tranquil. And wrongdoing and sin is that which wavers in the soul and causes uneasiness in the breast, uneasiness in the chest. Even though people have repeatedly given their legal opinion in favor for it. So, for example, a case would be that you want to know, is this okay for me to do? Is it okay for that to do? And you find that some people say yes, some people might say no, this is halal, yeah, this color says halal, this one says haram, this one says we're not sure, better to stay away from it, right? It's not clear. So here is that the Prophet is saying that sin is that something that causes an easiness in your soul, even though you know there's opinion that it's okay to do. That someone has said this. Whether that person's qualified or not, that's something we're going to get into that, if you will. So now maybe you can see a little bit why, how important this hadith is, subhanAllah. Before we even get into it, it really kind of gives you a lot of good definitions and guidelines for your life and how to navigate your life in terms of your actions. That's why I say this hadith is one of my favorite. I feel like it's one of the most impactful ones in Imam Nawawi's 40 hadith collection. Okay, so let's break it down a little bit. Oh, a little bit too fast there. So righteousness. So Ibn Rajab, rahimullah, and Ibn Rajab is a scholar from a long time ago, and he wrote one of the best commentaries on Imam Nawawi's 40 hadith. And so he states that the term bir in Arabic, which means righteousness, which is used in this hadith, is actually used in two senses. He says, number one, or A, treating others in good manners, and all acts of good deeds and worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so if we go back to the hadith here, the Prophet said righteousness is good character. So if I ask all of you, can righteousness be anything else? Like, you know, could it be praying? Could it be sadaqah? Is that righteousness? Right? Fasting, isn't that righteousness also? Yes, of course. So what is meant here in the bullet point here in the middle of your screen, what is meant here in this hadith, that the most essential aspect of righteousness is good character. That is what the Prophet ﷺ is trying to say. That righteousness could be multiple things, right? Praying, reading Quran, right? Like I said, fasting, all these different acts of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the pinnacle, the climax, the highest level of righteousness, if you want to know somebody who is righteous, right, and has that bir, in Arabic we call it bir, has this bir that's inside their quality of their self, is that we're going to judge it that the pinnacle is good character. And I'll ask you, what is all good character is? And I'll let you guys, you know, go ahead and put that in the chat box there. How would you define good character? If you give one word, right, what word would you give for good character? How would you define that? I mean, it's a tough question. I'm limiting to you to one word, but okay, I'll give you two words. Okay, I'll give you two words, inshallah ta'ala. Right, or you can write what you want there, anyhow. So you can tell me, how would you define good character? So the Prophet said that good character is, so the righteousness is good character, right? And so that is something that the Prophet is trying to say, that this is something that if you want to be righteous, if you want to be in that group of salihin and those who are righteous and those who are good, is that we have to make sure that we perfect that. And I talked about this multiple times, I think in other hadith, that the Prophet said that the heaviest thing on the scales on the day of judgment is husn al-khuluq, is righteousness, is good character, right? Salat's going to be there, fasting's going to be there, but those with good character is going to, it's going to pass, right? And that's hard. Good character is tough because we're always challenged many times by our character, right? Somebody, people try to get us angry, might get us frustrated, might get mad, right? How do you handle yourself? That's tough, right? So Brother Johan says that being honest, because people like to lie a lot, right? People like to use their tongue for different things, right? So part of good character is honesty, right? Kind, being kind to others, right? I like to say consideration. Nice and kind, Sister Lisa, okay. Sister Aisha, having consciousness, understanding right and wrong. So understanding like what is right, should I be doing in this act or should I not be doing this? Being grateful and sabr, okay, that's interesting, Sister Leah, right? Is that being grateful to all, I guess, to people and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's good, right? You don't want someone who's just, you know, ungrateful. You know, you won't say that person has good character. They just, you know, use people and then they take advantage of them and they don't talk to you after that, right? That happens. Good character is encompassing everything. Okay, that's good here, Brother Zafar. He picked the D option, all of the above, right? That's always a nice option to pick. Yeah, good character encompasses everything. It does, right? It definitely. There's so many that things that you could put on there. That's why I'm trying to go for the one word answer. It's tough. I like to say consideration, right? Because character is something, as I mentioned before, is something that is a relationship between you and others. Okay. You can't say I have good character with myself. You know, I mean, like I don't talk to people, I don't do anything, I don't interact, I got good character. No, if somebody sees someone who has good character, how do you know that someone has good character? Because you saw them, what? The way they talk to their mom, they talk to their parent, how they talk to their wife, how the wife talks to the husband, how they talk to their children. Like, wow, you have so much patience. wow, that person, you know, like insulted you, but like you didn't get mad. You were very calm and had composure, right? You know, you're driving and this person did this to you on the freeway. Like, it's usually how you interact with other people. That's how you usually define good character, right? Your neighbors, right? How do you, good character? So that's how I say it's considerate, how to be considerate of other people's actions and their thoughts and their feelings and how do you react? So reaction and consideration, maybe that's two words now, is what good character is. And I want you to put it there because I want all of us to kind of think about that as we go on with our day. We're constantly tested about our good character bar, right? Where are we at? You know, you have kids, you have a spouse, people at work. How is your character is consistently being tested, you know, sometimes more than others, right? And how are you reacting? And believe me, and you don't do it for other people, but believe people take notice of it. But more importantly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes notice of it, you know? And this could be a great way to bring people to Islam. They see the way that your character is, you know? And I've talked to people before, they say, I knew a Muslim, he was this amazing character. That's why I want to know about Islam. I didn't read a book, I knew the person was Muslim. And the way they acted is something I just never seen before. And I've heard this story multiple times before. And that's great, that's what we want Islam to be, you know, have that dawah through our character, okay? And then we go to the other part of the hadith here. Let me make sure I'm getting my slides right. The Prophet says that wrongdoing or sin is what wavers in the soul and what you dislike other people to find out about, right? So here is that, our soul, right, that's inside of us. It's already preloaded, right, with things that we should know not to do and what to do. We're born this way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has installed that, if you want to use a little bit of software computer terms, there's already a operating system that has been installed in it already. So even with any child or any person that's born, whether they're Muslim or not, when they see someone kill another person or steal something from another person, they say, hey, that's wrong, don't do that. Hey, that's disgusting. Hey, that's, you know, repulsive. How do they know that? Did they read a verse in the Quran about stealing or murder or, you know, being oppressive? No. It's just already in our innate system. We call this fitrah in Arabic. Okay. So our fitrah, which is natural disposition, that's like the fancy word for the translation of the word fitrah. But Allah has created us with pure innate or natural disposition that we call fitrah. It means to love the truth and good and to hate what is falsehood and evil. Someone who lies, someone who hits, you know, attacks somebody, you know, or oppresses somebody or hurts somebody. People don't like that. Okay, that's just something, alhamdulillah, that Allah has installed in us. Okay. But hold on. All right. But I'm gonna jump a couple of slides here. I kind of on a different pace here. But here is that we know that we have this in us. And this is going to try to, as the Prophet said, it should waver in our heart. So when we do something wrong or we see something wrong, it should bother us, right? Someone uses foul language, right? And you're like, yeah, why do you talk that way? It kind of bothers you, right? And I use the word foul language for a reason, because sometimes you go to certain people and say, hey, don't use that word. Oh, you said the S word, or you said the F word, or you said this word, or word this one, right? Don't use that type of language. And somebody's like, oh, come on, like everyone said it. Watch a movie, watch this. This person uses that word, right? And so what happens is that here is that innate, you know, fitrah that we have could get corrupted because of what people are around us are doing, right? If everyone's doing certain wrongs, it just doesn't feel bad. If everyone wears clothes that are really tight and revealing, and we know that, hold on, this is not what we should be doing, but we see it every single day, and this is what market on TV and billboards, and it's the trend of today. Then guess what? We kind of lose that of seeing that kind of wrong, and so therefore our heart does not waver in our soul when maybe we do an act like that. So here the Prophet said that wrongdoing is what wavers in your soul. Okay, I'll just continue here actually. So if the heart is in a state of tranquility, that implies that that it's righteousness that caused that. You did something good. Nobody, like, you know, gives a present to somebody and they're happy and they're joyous and they're, oh, thank you, alhamdulillah, thank you so much that you gave me this. And you go home, you're like, oh gosh, I don't know, what did I do? What did I do? And you, no one does that. You're like, alhamdulillah, you kind of feel like you did something good. Like you help someone out, right? You call someone you haven't talked to in a while. They're like, oh my God, thank you for calling me. Man, it's so nice to hear your voice. And you hang up the phone, or you take off your phone, whatever you press now, right? And you don't feel like, oh my gosh, why did I call that person? Oh, no one does that, right? It doesn't, you know, the heart tells you, alhamdulillah, like, I'm glad I finally got time to call my parents, or call my brother, or call my friend. The heart feels tranquil, it feels nice. If the heart is not tranquil, then one should abstain from acts of disobedience or doubtful matters. That usually means that if the heart is, it has some issues in it, then it could be that what? It did something wrong. Or something that's doubtful. And then we went over doubtful acts multiple times, okay? So we hear that, see that the heart here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that the heart is the main criteria for determining whether an act of ours was a sin or not, okay? Which brings us to the next question. And this is all questions for all of you at home. Can the heart interpret an evil action as good or acceptable? Can the heart interpret an evil action as good or acceptable? Right. Remember, I told you, we're preloaded with this operation system that when we see a murder, when we see killing, when we see someone innocently get, you know, harmed, someone steals someone other thing, some foul language is said, we kind of cringe. Our heart doesn't like that. We feel, oh my God, man, why is that happening for? Okay. But could it come to a state at times where people see some killing on TV? People say this person got murdered. Another person got this got stolen, right? More corruption. This company stole this person's money, these people's money. And you're like, oh, and it doesn't really affect you. Could that happen, right? And so let me see what some things that you guys have said. If the heart is sound, if it is corrupted, I mean, if it's not sound, Brother Zafar, I think, I understand what you meant there. Brother Tawfiq saying that, yes, it can. This should bring big red light in your head. That guess what? The heart is not always going to tell you or me or other people that what we just did right now was good or bad. But hold on, we just went over the hadith right here. The Prophet ﷺ said that wrongdoing is what wavers in your heart. So alhamdulillah, it's good. If I did something wrong, my heart's going to say, hey, Shahid, you should have said that. That was a really bad joke. You thought it was funny, but it made the other person feel bad. Oh, man. But it could be that what happens when I did something, I don't feel anything. So I go home and I feel nice, right? I did this to this person or I did that to that person. Oh, I thought it was just a joke. Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know I offended you. And then you go up on Yawm al-Qiyamah, you wake up and you know from the grave and you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you're like, what's all these sins? Where they come from? Like, no, I didn't say that to that person. I didn't do that to that person. Well, guess what? You did. You're doing all these things, but your heart, you didn't think you were doing wrong, but actually you were. And because of the heart, and you guys said the heart is corrupted, right? It's not working. That red light doesn't come on anymore. The light is blown, right? It's not functioning anymore. It's just not going to tell you. It's like a brake light. If your brake light's not working, you press the brake, the car behind you doesn't know. It could come right in and hit you right in the back, right? And so here is a very interesting verse in Surah Kahf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الذين ضل سعيهم في الحياة الدنيا وهم يحسبون أنهم يحسنون صنعا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about who is the worst people. The verse before this, I should have actually added that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this surah, who is the worst people on the day of judgment? Right? Who are the worst situation? He says those people whose efforts have gone astray. Their efforts are not for good. Their efforts have been have done bad, right? Astray in this life. And yet they reckoned that they were doing good. They thought they were doing good. They thought it was okay. They thought, you know, everyone else does that. So it's not a big issue, right? Everyone involves an interest. There's credit cards over here. There's this mortgages. Everyone does mortgages. I didn't feel anything wrong with it. Ooh, I didn't know. I thought I was doing okay. So here, Allah SWT talks about who are the people on the worst stage, you know, in their life, or worst, you know, situation in their life, are the ones that who think that they were doing good, but actually their work has gone into a waste, if you will, right? They thought they were doing this. And I know mortgages and stuff is, there's a lot of, you know, we could say about that. It's a very tough situation and so forth. But I, you know, it's different things that we could bring up, right? Or eating this type of food, or doing this type of business, or the way that we treated somebody, et cetera. There's multiple things, if you will, okay? And so here is that, what causes a dead heart? So I ask you now, can a heart, you know, not give you notification that you did something wrong, right? You don't get a little notification on your phone that this happened or that happened, right? And you said, yes, it can, because it's corrupted. What causes corruption? How would you guys answer that? What causes a heart to be dead, that it doesn't work anymore? It's not alerting you. It's not giving you a notification that, hey, you did something wrong, or hey, that could be something you need to find out about more, right? That's something that, you know, that maybe you should take into consideration of what you did. What causes a dead heart? What could be some factors that does that? Turn away from Allah and Islam, right? And that's pretty much, Brother Johan, what he's saying is that you don't have that reminder, right? If you're always, you know, have the reminder from other people, okay, wear these clothing, it's okay, everyone's doing it. And then that reminder, what is turned away from Allah and Islam, is that reminder of what we should be doing. And that's why the Quran is called dhikr. It's called remembrance. It's called remembrance. It's going to remind you of what you should be doing, because we forget sometimes. When you're not conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very good. And what caused you not to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that you're caught up with other things, right? Whether other things that this world gives you, whether music, movies, other things, and you just kind of forget what you're supposed to be doing. Great, great point by Brother Johan right there. Is influenced by other corrupt people, right? Living a habitual sinful life, definitely conscious of following the religion and temptations. Exactly, all these great things that you guys say, right? And I think one thing is our circle of friends, or those who are around you, whether you call them your friends or not, people at work, you know, they're around you. If they use a certain language, if they joke in a certain way, you know, if you're around people that just consistently, for example, is crack jokes about their wives, and my wife does this, you know, and all of a sudden that affects you. And then, no, you might think it's okay to talk about my wife like this, for example. Or they use certain type of languages. You know, for me, like, foul language really bothers me. I just don't like it. It's one of my pet peeves. But when I go to the gym, I haven't gone to the gym in a while because it's been closed down, and I like to play basketball. So when I go play basketball, and we're not putting a stereotype out there, but it is very common to hear foul language through the whole entire game, right? The guy would almost like this word, that word is coming out. And I'm like, why can't you guys just say this normally, just talk normal. We're just talking about basketball here, right? And what happened, everyone else on the court gets used to that because they're hearing so much, and no one's going to say, hey, don't say that word anymore. And if I would say that, everyone would look at me saying, what's wrong with you? Are you like, the police or something? Like, you know, this good police or something, like some, you know, religious person? That's probably what they would say, right? And I'll say, no, sorry, guys, stop using the F word. Can we just play basketball? People kind of think that I'm like, you know, trying to show them up, or I'm some goody two shoes person, right? And so what happens, and I'll tell you the truth, I don't say anything. I stay quiet and I listen to it, and maybe I'm wrong, right? But see, what happens is that our environment affects us so much. If you're around people that doesn't really care about haram and halal, you know, money transactions, or they're just like, hey, man, we're in America, it's too tough. And guess what? You might think it's not wrong when somebody does something like this or does something like that, right? Or eat food from here, eat food for that. Oh, big deal. And guess what? You're like, okay, I guess it's a big deal. Everyone wears clothes this way. Okay, I wear it also. So that's very, 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 very scary here to do. What am I doing here? Look at the chat really quick. It's because of society that we live in, definitely. Definitely, you know. I know when I studied in Egypt for about, you know, 7 years or so, and we would, you know, be there for the school year, like September to May, or December to June. Alhamdulillah, I mean, people in Egypt in general dress, women dress, you know, a lot of, you know, hijab and abayat and, you know, loose-fitting clothing and stuff, I mean, to an extent, right? Right? It's very heartening, you know, person without wearing hijab. It's there, definitely in society. But definitely you're not going to see certain clothing like, you know, that we'll see in America. And I always remember when we get into the airport and we leave and we finally get to America, it's always super shocking. Especially if you have to fly through Europe and then go to America, go back home. It's just like, and I'm like, wow. And it's just like, but then after a day or two or 3 days or 4 days, it's just like, oh, it's just, it's normal to see people dress like this, you know? And, but I must, like I said, going back is about the environment we live in, the environment that we live in. And that's why it's so hard as being Muslim in a being a minority in a society, is that we could lose our identity very, very quickly. And this is my issue. This is one of my youth, you know, efforts that I'm working on here at the masjid as being the youth director, is I'm consistently battling that with the youth. They're, alhamdulillah, they're born here, mashallah, right? And they're, but they'll take on certain things from the society, not knowing that this is not very un-Islamic because they see it every day. And so it's very hard to make sure, if you don't have a conscious heart, like Sister Aisha is saying, you know, temptations or just falling into what everyone else is doing, assimilation is very, very easy to do without even knowing and having your heart not giving you any warning. Okay. So that's definitely very scary. So here we go. So sin, what is sin? So the Prophet said sin is what wavers or trembles your soul. You don't feel good about it. We just said that the heart might not give you that notification, right? Supporting signs of sin, number one, first one is that internal system, the Prophet said, within a human being. That's the feeling of the soul with respect to any action. So the Prophet mentioned here, right, we said in the hadith here, that your soul will waver. You won't feel good. You had a, you know, argument with your spouse. You go back to your room or go back downstairs. You go on the couch and you sit there. You're like, oh, I don't feel good. I can't, you know, why did we do that again? Why did we say this again? And that is a good thing. Believe me, if your heart does this, alhamdulillah, your heart is awake. It's not dead, right? You still feel like, oh, man. And then it's going to promote you to do something, inshallah ta'ala, that is good. As the Prophet said, that if you do a sin, follow it up with a good deed. If you do it wrong, follow it up with a good deed. It's also in the Quran, right? That if you follow an evil with a good act. So here your heart will prompt you to say, okay, I'm sorry, no, but this talk about this, and kind of fix the relationship between two people. We just went over that. So your soul, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this this internal factor. Number two, very interesting hadith here where the Prophet said that the second factor is that if the heart does not give you that notification, the second sign is that you wouldn't want people to find out about it, right? Let's go back to the hadith again, right? The Prophet says that righteousness is good character, wrongdoing is what wavers in your soul, and which you don't dislike people to find out about. Why did the Prophet say that for? Because this is what we've been talking about. The heart is not going to give you that notification all the time. So at least you wouldn't want people to know that you said something like this to your spouse. You wouldn't want people to know that maybe that this financial, you know, transaction you're doing, maybe it's not the best thing. Or you're eating these type of food. Or you're wearing these type of clothes. Right? You wouldn't want people to know about that. It's kind of hard not to know what kind of clothes you're wearing because people are going to see you. But nonetheless, so the Prophet gives you a second sign, a backup insurance policy. If your heart's not working, if it gets corrupted and doesn't give you a notification, and we all say that can definitely happen, at least you should feel ashamed. You should feel embarrassed that if people would know about what you do. And that's why sometimes I tell people, I usually talk to the youth about this once again, is that would you guys like your recent web browser history to be posted online? People say, okay, you went to these websites, or your recent chats, or your recent pictures you viewed on your phone, or recent YouTube videos you watched, right? Or the recent things you have said to your parents or your spouse. If we would post that somewhere, would you feel embarrassed that, or would you feel ashamed that people would know about? And we're not going to do this, obviously. But, and if you said yes, I wouldn't want people to know that I clicked on that picture, or that I listened to the song, or that I watched this movie, or I said this to my spouse, or I said this to my child, or I said this to my mom, my dad, then guess what? That probably means what? It was wrong. Probably means that it was a sin. Probably something you probably shouldn't have been doing, right? And so maybe it's something you need to ask Allah's forgiveness for, or repent, or try to remove that act or that habit from your life. So here the Prophet ﷺ gives us a backup plan here, right? So the second sign is also that the internal feeling ashamed, feeling embarrassed, but it deals with outward reaction to the act itself and that terms of others knowing what your action is. So the commentaries of this hadith, and this is the point here, my brothers and sisters, has stressed that the people here, you wouldn't want people to know about what you did. Refers to respected and righteous people, right? Because you could say like, oh, I wouldn't want people to know that I wear these clothing. My friends dress the same way. So if they know about it, they're not going to say anything, right? Or I wouldn't want people, my friends, to know that I said this word. But they talk like that also. So they're not going to, I'm not going to feel bad, right? That could happen also. But what's meant in this hadith is that no, respected and righteous people. If Dr. Siddiqui knew that you did this, or that you said that, or this scholar, this sheikh, this person, your mother, your father, right? People who are known to be, alhamdulillah, righteous in society. If they knew that you did that act, would you want people to know? Would you want them to know about it, I should say, sorry, right? And if you didn't want people to know about it, then lights should blink. Say, you know what? That probably means that I'm doing something wrong, okay? Maybe I should avoid that, and maybe I should keep myself safe, okay? And so this is something that, inshallah ta'ala, that we all could use as we all go through our day. We do multiple things. Does our heart, how does it feel? After we finish this class, how does your heart feel? Alhamdulillah, I feel good. I feel like I gained some knowledge today. Good. Probably means you did righteousness, right? Probably mean you didn't do a sin, right? You do something else, right? And you're like, I don't know. You know, my friend told me to watch this movie and whatever I watched, it's probably the best movie, had the best scenes in it, right? Or language, or music, or the song, okay? Or the way that I talked to somebody, etc. Or I don't want people to know that I missed Fajr this morning. Please don't post that up that I missed Fajr, right? I wouldn't want, so that probably means that it's probably something wrong, right? That should bother you. And Fajr is a good example. If you don't pray Fajr multiple times, it's probably like, your heart doesn't feel anything anymore. It's like, oh, Shahid, you know, it's an early morning. You work so hard. Take a break. You need to take your sleep. And then, it's fine, you know. And so that's happened where the heart doesn't, you don't feel anything. You don't get angry. Oh, my gosh, why, how can I didn't wake up? Why am I to my alarm clock? I can't, you know. Maybe you started off like that, but maybe that's not there anymore now, okay. So that's something there. That's why I said this hadith is super, super practical, what we're going through in our lives all the time. Did we go over this already? No. Our internal control system, our internal controlling and guiding system that is established as a result of several factors. So the control system we have inside of us is our pure fitrah, that Allah gave us something in our heart. When we see evil, we feel bad, right? Allah created everyone with a pure fitrah. This has already been given to us. No need to work on it. Alhamdulillah, it's there. Realization of tawheed, and you guys, some of you put it in the chat box there, is loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have a connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reading Quran, right? This has to be maintained, because if you have that, then this natural fitra inside of you will be maintained. That when you do something wrong, it shall alert you. Adhering to the instructions of Islam, right? This can be observed and obeyed. So if you're constantly praying, alhamdulillah, doing your 5 daily prayers, right? You know, alhamdulillah, you go to, you know, you do these acts where we know that we should be doing, you're not listening to haram things, you're not eating haram things, etc. This will help that control system inside of us to prevent us from certain sins. Number 4, that's what we're all here today doing, seeking knowledge. And this, like I said, this is a lifestyle, this is a character, this is a trait that you have on you. This is what you do Sundays. This is part of your routine in life. It's not seen as something extra that you're doing. above your housework and your errands you're running. This is something that's part of your character. You're always seeking knowledge. Why? Because it's going to help you learn what is permissible and what's not permissible. Oh, I didn't know about this. Well, I didn't know sadaqah can be the saying a good word. I didn't know sadaqah means just moving something from the street. Now I know that. I'm going to try to do that more now. And I'm getting the reward of sadaqah. There's another hadith of the Prophet ﷺ on this point where he says that anything you spend on your family seeking reward for it is a sadaqah. And sometimes I tell this to parents that, you know, maybe you want to buy something for your child and, you know, like whatever the case may be, or your family, you know, they tell you, oh, the milk ran out. Can you go to the grocery store and buy some more milk? It's late at night or whatever the case may be. You're like, I don't want to go, man. Why? But if you say, you know, this is a sadaqah, I get rewarded as a sadaqah for just spending out my family. Okay, I'll get some milk. Alhamdulillah, right? And like I said, that could be a game changer in your life, right? So just seeking knowledge and knowing what the Prophet ﷺ has told us and the words in the Quran, then this is going to help that internal system that we have in us of having that tranquil heart or feeling something uneasy when we do something wrong. Tazkiyah and tarbiyah. This is an ongoing battle, ongoing struggle. Tazkiyah and tarbiyah means to cleansing the heart, purifying the heart from the evil, as some of you said, that is around us in our environment, that taints our heart, the words that we hear, the songs that we hear, right? People's actions, etc. This is a cleansing process for the heart and the soul and needs to be consistently worked on. So reading Quran, praying, seeking knowledge, taking a class, it's consistently kind of washing your heart because it's hearing the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so that's part of that cleansing process. Just like you take a shower, right? You only take a shower once a week or, you know, once every now and then, you're gonna have some issues, right? You're gonna either smell bad, you're gonna have issues, whatever the case may be. So just like your soul, it needs to have that cleansing process of washing to maintain it and make it function properly. As Aisha says, let me go back. Oh, there's actually a lot more comments that I missed. Sister Aisha says, I always ask myself a question, will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like it? And that always guides me, what helps me change in my life. Yeah, definitely. There's a thing that the Christians use. They have this thing called WWJD. I mean, what would Jesus do? I've seen it on bracelets and stuff. But we can say, what would the Prophet ﷺ do? Or what would he approve that I'm listening to this song or I'm watching this movie? And no one likes that because they're like, oh man, that takes away all the movies I watch. That takes away a lot of the songs I listen to. Alhamdulillah, that's great. That's exactly what we want. That's a purification process, right? Maybe your soul wants you to watch those things, but here Alhamdulillah Islam comes and cleanses that soul out. And tells you, like, hey, yeah, don't dress like that. Hey, don't watch these things, etc. Right? And that always guides me to what helps me change, help me changing the circle of friends. Yeah. Your friends is very hard. I mean, you don't want to just, like, drop somebody. But, you know, you keep a relationship with them. Alhamdulillah, how are you doing? Good, whatever. But you might not spend all your time with them as maybe you used to. Because you find that they actually bring you down. Or they don't promote you to Islam. Or they harm you, right? And that could be something that, you know, they joke around about the religion a lot, or they don't really care for this, and they belittle this rule, and they belittle that, and belittle this, and that affects you, you know? I had a group of individuals, they're really big in investing, and somehow I got added to this group also, so many WhatsApp groups, and I see some things they're investing, and I'm like, no, you know, don't you guys know this is not prohibited, and, oh, you know, it's okay, whatever, you know, there's this, and so that kind of affects me also, like, you know, like, come on, you know, why would you guys do this for? And so, like I said, those actions are do it, right? Have the effect on you. Let me see here. Is there a hadith which says that a person is on the religion of his friend, so he should be careful? Oh, definitely, Sister Humaira, you nailed it. And that's definitely a hadith I should have brought up. It's one of my favorite hadith. I use this once again to a lot of the youth groups. That rajul ala din khalilihi fa ahadakum yanzur ma yukhalil. So the Prophet ﷺ said that a person is on the religion of his close, intimate friend. not just friend, but close, intimate friend. Your close friends also, you know, they have a impact on you, right? Because they're really close. You take their opinion very sincerely and closely. So they're really going to navigate you and your actions. So the Prophet said that a person is upon the religion, the lifestyle of their close friends. So the Prophet said, so you, all of you, should observe and watch who you take as your close friends. And here, this is the kind of answer, Sister Aisha's question. Now, you could have friends. You know, I know this brother here. I know that brother, mashallah. I know this sister. Okay, alhamdulillah. Or even family members. But here that you wouldn't, let's take them as your close friends, right? That you spend a lot, what are close friends? People you spend a lot of time with. You're always, you call them, you know, in and out almost every other day or multiple times in the week, right? You chat back and forth with them, you know, whatever the case may be, okay? And so you want to really want to make sure that those close friends are going to always keep on prompting you to goodness. And if they're not, then, you know, that's an issue, right? Like I have some friends that kind of belittle the, you know, hookah and smoking, the you know, aghila or shisha, right? So some of them do, and I know I've talked to them multiple times about it, but they'll post a picture with it, and they're like, guys, come over, you know, I got this flavor. And then it's like, you know, it affects me because it doesn't, like, you know, it doesn't make me a better Muslim, right? But I know that brother for very long, like, alhamdulillah, we have done good things, and we have, you know, very good times with them, and I know they're a good Muslim, mashallah. But is this one of his things that he does, and I just don't like it? And so here that those, like I said, you kind of have to be little. Be careful about those type of things. But of course, like I said, brotherhood in Islam is very important. So we want to keep that connection with them. We want to make sure that connection you have with that person not bringing you down, but maybe helping them. But if that connection is bringing you down, then you have to be very careful. Maybe you have to back away. Keep connections. Alhamdulillah, how are you doing? Alhamdulillah, how's everything? You know, they're... But in terms of that close connection, then that's something you need to think about. And Aisha says, Salah. Of course, Salah is the backbone of all of us, right? To doing that, if you will. That's definitely good, something at Tazkiyah to do. Hadith number 28. What time do we have? Okay. I think we have about 12 minutes left. Once again, probably not enough. But anyhow, let's start this, inshallah. Hopefully, you guys all benefited from the hadith number 27. Like I said, that is one of my, you know, the hadith at the asterisk. Next to it anytime I read it, because that's, like I said, very practical, very impactful in your life. You know, this hadith here, it could really help you in your life. When you do something, you ask your heart, how does it feel, right? And what I want other people to know about it. That's it. There's two questions you can ask yourself if you're in doubt of what you just did. And inshallah ta'ala, Allah will guide you to, inshallah, to that best decision. And you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify our hearts and make a beacon of guidance and navigate you in this world, right? And when you're decision making and whatever you may be doing, that what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So protect that heart, my dear brothers and sisters, physically and spiritually, right? Watch out for, you know, cholesterol and other things that might affect your heart in a physical sense, right? Make sure you get exercise. The same thing also works. Is that spiritual wise, that needs exercise also. That needs dhikr of Allah, that needs salah, that needs reading of the Quran. That is the utmost important. So hadith number 28. On the authority of Abu Najih al-Irbad ibn Sariyah, raylahuan, the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, gave us a sermon by which our hearts were filled with fear and our tears came to our eyes. He said, O Messenger of Allah, it is as though this is your farewell sermon. Like, you're going to pass away soon, because the way that the Prophet was giving this advice, was giving this talk, giving this lecture. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, counsel us. What is some words of advice that you could give? If you're basically not going to be living very long, what could we benefit from? The Prophet ﷺ says, I counsel you, right, to have taqwa, to have, I put the word fear here. I don't like that translation. That's funny that I left it there on the screen. I forgot to take it out. But have consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Conscious of Allah's pleasure or what he wants you to do, and also what his punishment may be for if you do something wrong. But be conscious of that. Number one thing that Rasul said. And then he says, and to listen and obey your leaders. Even if a servant were become your amir. Amir means like your leader. Okay. Listen and obey your leaders. Even if a servant, someone that doesn't deserve to be in that position, right? Then obey them. Or someone that you might not think is qualified because they're from this ethnicity or this background or this, you know, part of society. That's different ways that we can understand it. Verily, he among you who lives long will see great controversy. I don't know why that S is there. Oh, there you go. So you must keep to my sunnah and the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashideen, the caliphs are the Muslim leaders after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but not all of them, the rightly guided ones, those who guide to the right way. Also, emphasize that again. Cling to it stubbornly. Literally says with your molar teeth. Everyone knows when you bite something, when your molar teeth, you're going to hang on it, right? Beware of newly invented matters in the religion, for verily every bid'ah, every innovation is misguidance. SubhanAllah. Definitely an hadith that cannot be explained in 8 minutes. But anyhow, so you see there's a lot of things here. A couple things that we could take from this. Get my screen to move. There we go. It was mentioned that this reminder, some little background of this hadith, was after Salatul Fajr, as narrated in another hadith of this in Musnad Ahmed. So here the Prophet ﷺ is given this reminder after Fajr. So obviously the Sahaba have to wake up for Fajr and they'll be there. And this also shows you the Prophet ﷺ would do this at different times after prayer. And that he'll go and he'll ask and he'll give a little talk or you'll ask questions. Another thing that was mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ after Fajr, he would ask, if any of you have a dream that I could interpret, I will tell you it. And so that's one thing that he would do also after in the morning prayer. Okay. And everyone likes to get that topic of how do we interpret dreams, but I'm not going to get into that. That's something I do not have experience in or knowledge of. Shows a need of reminders outside Juma, right? Some people say, I'll go to Juma. Alhamdulillah. That's good, mashallah. Hopefully you remember what it said in the Juma khutbah. But here the Prophet would even give the Sahaba, the best generation of Muslims ever, right? He would give them different classes and different reminders, if you will, want to see it that way, throughout the week. So what do you think about us, me and you? Right? You think Juma is just enough for us if we're even paying attention to the khutbah the whole time? No, right? Alhamdulillah, these Sunday classes that we're having here, right? And I'll do respect, I'm not the best person to facilitate or teach these classes, but inshallah, we can at least benefit something from it and take it on for the week and try to benefit from it. Dr. Siddiqui's class that's starting up in, 6 minutes or so, right? Dr. Siddiqui has been doing this for years, right? And alhamdulillah, to take that knowledge from him as much as we can. We should be hungry, just as the Sahaba was learning from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that we could benefit from how is he explaining the verses of the Quran. You can see the reminder was short. Look at this hadith here. It's not, I mean, how long do you think it is to say this hadith? I don't know, 30 seconds? A minute, if you want to say it kind of slowly. So here the Prophet's reminders were short in duration. Not an hour and 15 minute class on a Sunday morning. But when I'm not as profound and eloquent with my words as the Prophet was, then I need an hour and 15 minutes. So the Prophet did not prolong his reminders, as mentioned in other hadith. I think it's really interesting because I heard those who've been coming to ISOC for Juma, you know, our Jumas are really short. You know, everyone now is doing kind of like a short khutbah because of, you know, they don't want people being gathered around too long because of COVID-19 and so forth and social distancing. And so all the khutbahs have been like 15 minutes or even a little bit shorter than that around there. And one of the brothers I was talking to him, he says, like, you know what, I really like these 15-minute khutbahs. I was like, oh, okay. I heard this before. So no. He's like, seriously, they've been really great. All the reminders I've heard. And I remember them a lot more. And they get right to the point. It's focused on one thing, not like 10 topics. And alhamdulillah, you could come home and it's been really impactful. And he's like, wonder if this week continue this even outside COVID. I said, yes. That's interesting. You have a good point, you know? And that's how actually traditionally the Prophet ﷺ's khutbah was usually really short. And the prayer would be longer. The two rakats that we pray after the Jummah khutbah, traditionally that would be longer. But now we didn't opposite now. The khutbah is very long and the salah is very short. And it could be because, like I said, the need for the people, because they only get a Jummah khutbah during the week. So usually the khutbah is usually 20, 25 minutes, you know, 30 minutes. And the prayer is a little bit shorter. And like I said, yeah, people don't understand Arabic. And so in the prayer, they're not really understanding all the verses, but it'd be nice anyhow. We could definitely discuss that a little bit more. But it's an interesting point. I wanted to bring that up. So you can let me know. If you have been going to Jummah, let me know if you like the 15-minute khutbahs. Not just because you get to go back to work or go back home early. I'm not looking for that excuse. So anyhow. The messenger, there's another hadith. The Prophet said, it's mentioned that the messenger of Allah would not lengthen the sermon on Friday, but only would say a few words, right? So there's also a hadith on that, okay? This also shows the righteousness of the virtue of the Sahaba from their heart filling and fear with tears. Look what it says here. They said, O Messenger of Allah, gave us a sermon which our hearts were filled with fear and our tears came to our eyes. What does that tell you? If you hear, have everyone here has heard a khutbah? And yeah, I know khutbahs range from, you know, their quality, but has ever started crying or just been affected by it? And this is a Sahaba, subhanAllah. They weren't saying, you know, like a lot of times I people after khutbahs, and I know, I'm in the khutbah, you know, field, and but I might be a little bit biased to this, but I'm in the audience a lot of times too. But the people say, you know what, oh, the khatib did this, or, you know, it was, they made this point, and made that point, and you know what, they're talking about this, and they're off topic, and they're going off a tangent. I said, okay, that's, don't focus on, what did you take it from the khutbah? What was one point? Oh, I don't know. I don't remember. See, this is a problem. Try to take something. You already know it's not going to be perfect. You know, they're not going to be the best speech maker in the world there. That's going to be able to give you the best khutbah. So already know that when you come in there. But try to grab a one point or two. That's what I want to hear. And look at the Sahaba. They were doing that. They're not trying to criticize. But they're there, alhamdulillah. Of course, the Prophet ﷺ gave them the khutbah, so I mean, obviously, it's a whole nother level. But it affects their heart. They're crying. They're fearful that what, you know, they're taking the words very, very seriously, right? And that shows you their intention of why they came to the khutbah for, you know, to benefit. Some people come to the khutbah. What is your intention coming to the khutbah? Because I need to pray Jummah. If you go there with the intention just so you need to pray Jummah because it's a fard, and then you want to get back to work, then guess what? That's all of you going to get for khutbah. That's all you're going to get. You can check it out the box. Alhamdulillah, I performed a khutbah today. That's all you're going to get, right? But if you go there, I'm going to Jummah khutbah to benefit something. I'm going to hear something that inshallah is going to benefit me to make me a better Muslim. If you go with that intent, your experience will be different, right? And also go with the intent that, you know what? Yes, the khatib is not going to maybe the best or whatever the case may be, right? But if you go with that intention, it'll be game-changing, if you will. So I'll stop here. We didn't get very far in this hadith nonetheless. But alhamdulillah, inshallah ta'ala, we will continue it next week and go from there. I know Dr. Siddiqui is here and he has his class starting. Like I mentioned, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for our wrongdoings, to purify our heart, to help us, guide us to what is right and keep us away from what is evil. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Barakallahu fikum. May Allah bless all of you. Dr. Siddiqui, pardon me for taking your time. Inshallah, we'll see you guys all next week.